You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. They're shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Yeah, peace, harmony, pet power. Holy shih tzu, baby. You'll learn how to keep your pets from chewing your shoes or eating your cat. It's all about relationships, baby. You and your pet. Pet. So tune in, turn on, and get ready for the positively grooviest pet podcast on the planet. Ooh, that's a lot of peas, baby, isn't it?
What's this show called?
Oh, Behave!
No, really, what's this show called?
Oh, Behave! With your shagadelic host, Arden Moore. What's happening, Arden? Yeah, baby, yeah. Tell us.
Welcome to Oh, Behave on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Thank you for tuning in. Today, we are going to be discussing something that's very near and dear to us. You know, everyone loves a good mystery. That is, until that mystery surrounds your missing pet. I know, two of my cats went missing. One for 57 days before I was reunited with them. So I felt pretty fortunate. But not everyone is so fortunate. Today, we have a very special guest who ranks as probably the world's best at finding lost pets. She is Kat Albrick, a retired police canine officer and founder of Missing Pet Partnerships, a group that actually trains pet detectives. Welcome to the Oh, Behave Show, Kat.
Thank you, Arden.
I'm really glad that you're here. I think you're going to be able to help our listeners a lot with something that's something we wish never happens.
Exactly. I hope so, too.
All right. Well, we're going to tune in to learn about how to be a pet detective, what it's all about from the best, right after this commercial break.
Would you like to go out? Well, actually, I was talking to your owner. I meant on a date, baby. Yeah, you and me. Oh, Behave! We'll be right back after these groovy, shagadelic messages. Oh, yeah.
From Paris, New York, and around the globe, get ready for the hip, the trendy, the uber cool, where pets rule. If you've got a passion for pet fashion and a flair for animal wear, this is the ultimate place to take a peek at what's chic in the world of designer pet fashion and cool new pet products. On the Pet Set, with our fashion diva, Queen Dog Lady. The Pet Set, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Pets are part of the family, and when traveling with your dog, there's only one magazine to include when packing your doggy's duffel bag, and that's Fido Friendly, the travel and lifestyle magazine for you and your dog. Each bi-monthly issue includes hotel, city and state reviews, and doggy destinations to explore with your furry companion. Fido Friendly magazine can be found at Borders, Barnes & Noble, PetSmart, Pet Boutiques, and Fido Friendly hotels nationwide. Or you can go online to subscribe at www.fidofriendly.com. So get traveling with your pet today and leave no dog behind. And remember, Fido Friendly's the only magazine dedicated to the travel lifestyle of man's best friend and the one magazine your dog will thank you for.
It's time to start scratching for donations for the Humane Society of Broward County's Walk for the Animals, presented by VCA Animal Hospitals. The walk is Saturday, March 1st at Esplanade Park in downtown Fort Lauderdale. You'll need a registration form, so stop by any VCA Animal Hospital, IHOP, the Museum of Discovery and Science, or the Humane Society. This event is also brought to you by Big 105.9, Comcast, Purina One,
PetLifeRadio.com,
Tidy Cats, and The Herald. Call 954-266-6817 or log on to walk4theanimals.com for more details. See you there.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We're switched back on, baby. Yeah, so let's talk pets with our smashing host, pet edutainer Arden Moore, and the groovy show that's cool, baby. Really shagadelic. Oh, Behave!
Welcome back. You're listening to Obehave on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. As mentioned, today we have a very special guest, Kat Albrecht. She knows how to sniff out clues, probably on par with any bloodhound. We are very lucky because she is going to be here for not only this show, but she's agreed to come back for next show because she has so much media advice. She is the founder of Missing Pet Partnerships. She's authored two great books that you all need to dash off after the show to buy. They are called Lost Pet Chronicles and Dog Detectives, Train Your Dog to Find Lost Pets. Like I said, we're doggone lucky because Kat has agreed to come back next week to continue her fascinating and helpful insights into why pets get lost and, more importantly, how to improve your chances of finding them. So next week, just so you got it marked down on your calendar, Kat will talk about her missing pet partnerships in greater detail, and she's going to explain to us how you can become actually certified in finding lost pets in your community, and best of all, how to train your dog to be a pet detective. But for today, we're going to act like pet detectives ourselves and find out who the heck is Kat Albrecht, why she does what she does, what the best tactics to take if your dog or cat should go missing, and figuring out the differences in lost behavior between cats and dogs. You know, many of us might have watched Jim Carrey play Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, years ago. Now, it was probably his breakout role for this very talented comedian. But you know what? Kat is the real deal. She is America's pet detective. So glad you can join us, Kat, for not one, but two shows. What a treat. So first of all, people are thinking, boy, she's got a feline name. Who the heck is Kat Albrecht, and what's she doing with being a detective? So clue us in, will you, Kat?
Well, actually, it was a nickname from junior high that stuck. And I mean, if I'd known back then that I was going to be a pet detective, I don't know if I would have let it stick. But, you know, my best friend, her name was Kathy, and I was Kathy, and we became Kat and Kat. And so it's just kind of, I guess, fortuitous. But
well, think about it this way. At least your name was Kat in junior high school. And there's many of us who are not going to disclose what nicknames we were given in junior
school. True.
That we probably wouldn't put our name on a book like that. So it's not so bad. But Kat, you know, you're sort of like a CSI person. And I think of that as sort of like a canine sniffing investigator. A lot of us like to tune into those shows on TV. But, you know, you're doing the real deal. There's no commercial breaks when you're trying to help find a missing pet. I was hoping you could give us a little background about yourself.
Well, you know, my pet detective work just evolved from, it's a natural extension from the training, the experience and training that I've had over the years in both search and rescue, you know, the science of finding missing people, the training and utilization of search and rescue dogs. My investigative skills as a police officer and detective training that I had and was a detective for 2 years. So, you know, all of that ultimately, you know, came into play when I went through my, life paradigm shift when my dog was missing. But before, you know, before that, yeah, I'll let you know that back in 1989, I read an article in Dog World magazine about cadaver dogs, and I was fascinated by it. By the concept of a potential way that I could train a dog to help in law enforcement, because my passion had always been dogs and police work. But at the time, I hadn't, you know, wanted to become a police officer. I had thought I wanted to be a cop since I was 13, but I read this article and I figured this is a way that I could train a dog to volunteer and to find dead people. And my family thought I was nuts, you know. And so, and this was before there was a lot of knowledge about human remains detection dogs, as they're called now, or cadaver dogs. But I was fascinated by it, and in the mm-hmm. my favorite breed had always been the Weimaraner, and I saw that in the pictures they had police dogs doing this, you know, German Shepherd, German Shorthaired Pointer. When I saw that, I said, I'm going to get a Weimaraner puppy and I'm going to train it to find dead people. And so I did, you know, I got Rachel and, my first dog and began, or actually my first, search dog and began training her and got involved in training her in search and rescue work. And
was she sniffing around? Was she like, I sniff dead people? Is that what she
taught? You know, she sniffed cow poop and dead animals and anything she could get into that she could roll in. She just loved her work, you know. And one of the quote unquote problems I had with her was she would critter, meaning she loved to go on a bunny hunt. I'd be out there instructing her, you know, search for the, you know, the human remains, and she'd be out there, no, but there's a bunny.
So, bunnies, I mean, bunnies don't smell. They taste great.
You know, I mean, I didn't know that this was that she had natural talent to, you know, that could be put to good use. You know, I would go to a training seminar for training search and rescue dogs, and they'd be, no, you need to correct her. You know, even had somebody tell me to put a shock collar on her. Thank God I didn't. You know, I couldn't. And thank God I didn't, because, you know, and that I didn't train out of her what was her forte, which was love kitties. When she smelled a cat, she just got so wiggly, and that became her alert. You know, when I ultimately began using her to look for missing kitties, boy, when she would pick up the scent, she would tell me with her tail and with her body language. But but before I even had any vision of pet detecting, I then got my bloodhound AJ because I read a book about police bloodhounds, and I went to the police academy and said, I'm going to become a police bloodhound handler, and kind of went in that direction.
Wow. You know, AJ has a very special story. Let's talk a little bit about your role as a police officer with AJ, and then something unexpected happened.
Yeah.
That's where the drama music comes in.
He was a great, great dog. You know, I didn't use him on his first search. This was, again, for people. I was using it for missing persons and criminals, and I didn't use him until I had spent 2 years training him. But his first missing person search, he tracked up and found an Alzheimer's patient that was lost, and then he ended up, you know, finding several people. In fact, one of them, he earned a National Life Saving Award for tracking down a man that had gone off into the woods and had shot himself but survived. And if it hadn't been for AJ, and actually for another dog that had worked the case, a golden retriever, I actually credit that dog more than AJ, because that handler trusted her dog, and I tended to, like, oh, it didn't make sense that this man would go through this gate and close it and lock it. But AJ had done some fantastic tracking work and had caught a burglary suspect, and then you know, I'd been using him for a few years, and then in 1996, one day he dug out from my backyard and was gone and was lost in the woods. And I have
now,
to
where
tell
were you,
you
living at the time? Where were you living?
This was in, I had moved to Santa Cruz and become a police officer at the UC Santa Cruz Police Department, and was living in the Redwoods and the Santa Cruz Mountains. And, you know, and I had, you know, I knew what I needed. I needed a dog that I could scent on AJ's bedding to track him down and find him, because that's what AJ did. He would, you know, take the scent of the missing person and track him down and find him. And so, I mean, I panicked and I ran around. I didn't know which direction to go, but I ran around my neighborhood calling his name and screaming and crying. Already in my mind, I had him. He had been hit by a car in my mind. I had buried him. I would never see him again. Somebody would keep him and not give him back. I mean, all these, this overwhelming panic, grief came over me to where I just felt like I had never experienced anything like this before. But I got on the phone and I called my friend Jeannie, who had Kea, that golden retriever that...
Oh, there you go, the one that really did find the guy.
That often did a way better job than me and my bloodhound. And I asked her, you know, I called her and said, AJ's missing. And, you know, there's a cardinal rule in search and rescue work that you do not use a search and rescue dog to track missing pets. You know, you're often asked that, but you just don't do that because you spend so much time training your dogs not to follow animal scent. And so, but, you know, Jeannie and I had never discussed it before, but she knew right away. And I knew that if her dog Kay had ever gone missing, I would have used AJ to track her dog. And so anyway, her daughter came because Jeannie was out of town, and we scented Kay on AJ's bedding, and she tracked him down in 20 minutes and found him. And
was he enjoying yappy hours somewhere, or what was he doing?
No, AJ.
I don't want to know.
He was actually wet when we found him. He was in the neighborhood down below my place. I kind of lived on a hill in the mountains, and so he was down the hill sniffing on us around somebody's front porch. But he was wet, so he had gone all the way down to the bottom of the creek and had been in the creek and then just, you know, snooping around. You know, had no interest in coming back home. I mean, he's a hound, and he just wanted to, you know, they just get on a scent, and there they go.
So what happened when you saw him? I mean, I got to tell you.
Oh, man, I just collapsed, and, well, not collapsed, but, I mean, I was just so relieved, you know, and I went home and you know, profusely thanked Stacy, and then proceeded to just sit down and had a cup of coffee and then started thinking, you know, okay, why, we know how to train dogs to find people. Why aren't we training them to track lost pets? You know, it really made me start thinking, why aren't we doing this? How many pets go missing a day that could be using this type of service, you know? And the idea of, I mean, I actually put the idea out on the internet to a group of another search and rescue dog people, and, you know, why doesn't somebody do this? Because it wasn't going to be me, because I was training up my second bloodhound, Chase, to be my SWAT dog to track criminals, and you know, and I was too busy, but I put the idea out there, the normally chatty group suddenly went silent. And it was kind of
really?
Like, you know, yeah, because it was like, what are you talking about? The one person who piped up pretty much said, we know how long it takes to train a dog to find people. Why would we waste our time in training one to find lost pets? And, you know, in retrospect,
ouch,
I understand.
Ouch, ouch.
Well, you know, in retrospect, I understand what they're saying. Their focus was on search and rescue and finding people, you know.
Right.
But in my back of my mind, I thought, well, okay, what happens when your search and rescue dog goes missing? You know, we need this we need dogs that can track down the missing search and rescue dogs and the missing police dogs and all the missing dogs. And so I tried to dismiss the idea, but it haunted me for about 6 months. So that was, you know, that happened with AJ in the spring of 2006, and then it wasn't until December of 2006 I finally decided I have to try this as an experiment. And, you know, by that time I had retired Rachel from her cadaver work, and I just thought, you know, I want to take Rachel and see how she does, see if she can do this.
Is this 2006 or 1996 that you did?
Oh, I'm
this?
Sorry. Duh, 1996. Yeah, 1996.
I want to get a really meaty treat for paying attention to the dates. I could be a detective.
I know you have to. Okay. Well, I have that dementia gene going, you know.
No.
Use that as my fallback. Yeah. Well, so yeah, so you know, I just couldn't shake the idea. I mean, like I said, it haunted me, and so I just started continued training my hounds, but then I just would work in and hide a kitty from Rachel. And I still remember the first time that I took a tuft of cat fur, and I hid my cat Yogi in the woods, and I took a tuft of cat fur and put it under Rachel's nose and told her, Rachel, take scent, find the kitty. She looked up at me like, yes, finally you understand what I'm trying to tell you all along. You know?
Oh, yeah.
So she just fell in love with her work, you know, and
well,
and
how
so
did
I
Yogi
spent,
feel about being out in the woods going, holy
Yogi
moly, I'm stuck out here. What is she doing? They better find me. This isn't cool. I'm agoraphobic.
She was not. Now, we've learned from Yogi what cats not to use for to be what we call target cats. I mean, she loved, I mean, she didn't love the dogs, but she tolerated it and what have you. But she, she
probably was
really
giving you the paw, you know, like, you know, this is not cool. Not
I know.
Cool. I'm getting slobbered by Rachel.
Yeah. Well, and so I spent 4 months in the, you know, Rachel really had all the training she needed, but I mean, I just spent 4 months focusing on the pets with her, and in her first four searches, Rachel found two missing cats and one missing dog, and I realized, you know, I'm onto something, and not only that, but the people that we helped were so grateful that someone cared enough to come out and help them look. And even in the case where we didn't find the missing pet at all, they were grateful for the services and, you know, began to encourage me, you need to do something with this. Because at the time, you know, I was working a graveyard shift as a cop and moonlighting as a pet detective, and, you know, so it just kind of evolved.
You know, folks, we're listening to Kat Albrecht. She is probably America's best pet detective. And we're going to take a commercial break, and we're going to be right back.
Would you like to go out?
Well, actually, I was talking to your owner. I meant on a date, baby. Yeah, you and me.
Oh, behave. We'll be right back after these groovy, shagadelic messages. Oh, yeah.
Stop what you're doing and start horsing around. Every week on Pet Life Radio, horse expert and award-winning rider Audrey Pavia will be trotting out great tips on feeding, breeding, and more on everything equestrian. So set a spell and say hey to Audrey and get ready for a darn tootin' galloping good time. Every week on Horsing Around, on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Well,
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We're switched back on, baby. Yeah, so let's talk pets with our smashing host, pet edutainer Arden Moore, and the groovy show that's cool, baby. Really shagadelic. Oh, behave!
Welcome back to the Oh Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. As I've mentioned, we have Kat Albrecht on, who is a pet detective, and a very good one at that. She is also the author of The Lost Pet Chronicles and Dog Detectives, Train Your Dog to Find Lost Pets. I know you're as curious as a cat right now, so write this down. The website is www.pethunters.com. As mentioned, she is a retired canine police officer who has now founded Missing Pet Partnerships, and we were talking about her dog, Rachel, who was able to find 3 out of 4 of her first pet assignments, you know, 3 out of 4 missing pets. You know, if I was a Major League Baseball player, I would be in the Hall of Fame if I had a batting average like Rachel did. So, Kat, welcome back again to Oh Behave.
Thank you. Yeah, so, you know, so I began working cases on the side and began to realize that, you know what, this needs to be developed into something. And at the time, this was in 1997, and actually in the September of 1997, I met an attorney who, at a dog event, and I was contemplating forming a nonprofit organization, and he said that he could help me do that. And it was right at that time also that Oprah Winfrey had launched a program called the Angel Network and had a guest on the show that had talked about, you know, that we need to be a society that gives and just the importance of you know, helping others, not out of a desire for money and what have you. Anyway, it was just, I don't recall everything about it, but I just know that that was kind of the tipping point that made me realize that, you know, that I had a choice to make, because I began to start getting some notoriety in a local paper and had been interviewed in a national magazine, and I had people contacting me from around the country asking me to fly out, you know, across the country to look for their missing pets, and they would pay me anything. Well, you know, in my research and finding, asking other search and rescue people, why hasn't anybody been doing this before? And they said, oh, there was a guy in Texas, who had trained his bloodhound and was, you know, would charge, you know, $100 to go out and track lost dogs. And I said, well, what happened to him? And they said, oh, well, he died, you know, in 1984. And I thought, well, what happens when I die? You know, yeah. And that was really the point where I made the decision of, you know, I don't want, this isn't about me and my dogs. This is about people who love their animals like family members, who are alone in their grief, alone in their efforts, and who need help. And that if I'm going to do anything, I want to pour my knowledge and information into a nonprofit organization that will develop community-based lost pet services, because people shouldn't have to try to, this shouldn't be a service that's available only to the wealthy who could afford to pay a last-minute plane ticket to fly me and my hound across country to track their missing pet. And, you know, so that's been the vision. But, you know, I'll tell you, early on when I first expressed that vision to a friend or, you know, she was a colleague who had a search and rescue dog and also had volunteered at her local shelter, she laughed and told me I was having a pipe dream. If I thought I could make a living as a pet detective, or that if I thought that animal shelters would embrace the concept of lost pet services. And I hung up the phone and I cried, and then I got mad. And that's at the same time, this is September 1997, and I said, if you want to see Pipe Dream, watch this. I'm going to develop and dream about a national organization, not just being a local pet detective. I'm going to, you know, take this and develop this on a national level. And it's been a real struggle.
Well, you know, I think your friend was smoking something in that pipe that wasn't giving her clear thoughts. And secondly, you know, you're not Oprah, but yeah. You are doing very priceless work. And I think that vision is what is we need more of in this country, especially when it comes to our pets. I mean, it's horrific when we lose our pet, and it can just happen a flash. I mean, I remember I had a great cat that used to love being out in the backyard on a little light little leash. And, you know, I was always there watching her and everything. And it was weird, but her name was Samantha, and we called her Sam, the wild woman, you know, just got to give a stupid name. But my mom was dying of cancer, and she was dying at her home, and it was one of those things where the phone rang, and I was outside, and this is before you had the cool cell phones, and I knew I had to run inside to take that call, and it was the call that my mom had passed away. I came back outside, and Samantha was gone. I'm like, holy crap, how come I lose my mom and my cat in 1 minute? And this cat was gone for 57 days, and we did everything you could. My mom died at age 57. Weird. Wow. But anyway, it was a good reunion. We were able to find her again. I never gave up. But it is a just hits you in the gut feeling, no matter who you are, when your pet all of a sudden goes missing, whether the repairman opens the door and a cat or dog dashes out. So I do applaud you for what you're doing, because you're doing it on a bigger platform. And that's what this missing pet partnership is all about, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. It's about, you know, developing community-based lost pet services, both training of volunteers, training and certification of professional pet detectives with the tracking dogs and the CSI forensic, you know, training and what have you, and how to solve investigations and use deductive reasoning. And we'll get all into that later. But, you know, it's about that, but it's also about working with, partnering with animal shelters. We have a real vision to develop, and to test out and develop and launch programs with shelters that will help them to back investigate a lot of the strays that end up in their shelters. You know, right now they're basically just picking up a stray dog and holding it and then waiting for the owner to show up. Well, we've discovered there's many reasons why pet owners don't show up at the shelter. And, you know, it's when you have high euthanasia rates and you're looking for solutions, you have to be innovative. And if we can develop systems and change some of the, you know, old policies of just leaving it totally up to the owner to come down and identify their animal, and yet recognize and realize that there are other things that we can be doing to get that dog out of the shelter and back home, you know, we're doing a good thing.
What are some of the reasons that you found, that just to share with our listeners, as to why an owner doesn't show up to that particular shelter where the dog might be there?
Some of it is that they're new to the area. They're not educated on where the shelter is or the sheltering system. I mean, there are people out there who own dogs and cats who are just clueless about that even there is a system that will pick up their stray dog. There are people who are injured and in the hospital, or that have to make a choice between getting to that shelter or getting to a funeral or keeping their job. There are shelters that have limited hours. In my area, our shelter hours are 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. And what if you're working a swing shift and you're not able to go, or you have to make a choice between your job? There's people. We assume that everybody speaks English, that everybody has transportation, that everybody has a driver's license and a car. We assume that everybody is physically able to come down there, and that they're mentally able, or that they're young and healthy. We don't realize that there are elderly people who lose their animals, who quickly give up hope, who may call the shelter and think that they're doing the right thing, but that are told that they have to come down, and then they just grieve and realize, well, I can't do this because I have nobody to take me there. And then their dog sits at the shelter unclaimed. We have people who have warrants for their arrest that are afraid of uniforms. We have people that speak other languages, you know, or that are out of state or out of town, and the boarding kennel or pet sitter isn't quite sure or doesn't do the proper things to look for the animals. I mean, there's just a myriad of information, or people that know that they'd have to pay bail and they don't have the money. But there are things that we can do to counter some of that. And there are dogs that are picked up by well-meaning rescuers who take the dog to a no-kill shelter or to a distant city because they think it will be have a better chance of not being euthanized. And the one place that the owner is searching, their local shelter, is the last place oftentimes where a found dog is taken. So we already have a messed up system in place, whereas with missing people, we have one central clearinghouse. It's called 911. You lose a toddler or you find a toddler. Everybody calls the same place. But when it comes to missing dogs and cats or stray found dogs and cats, it's a mess.
Well, it's a mess now, but I have a feeling with people of your talent, we may have a pet version of 911 someday.
I hope so. You know, and I just want to say again, this, you know, I don't do what I'm doing to get the glory. I think that I may have been the first person that came in to the animal welfare industry looking through the lens of law enforcement and search and rescue and the science of finding missing people and realize, wait a minute, you know, there's a lot of things that we're doing successfully in looking for and finding missing people and solving missing person investigations that we can apply to missing animals. Just how veterinary medicine mirrors the medical treatment for humans, we can take this same, so I haven't created really anything new. I've really taken the wheel of law enforcement and search and rescue that already exists and applied it in the pet industry and found, oh my gosh, this works, you know, and a lot of that has evolved. I mean, it began with the use of the search dogs, but there's so much more that we've, applications that we've developed or that we've been applying over the years. And not all of them are ones that I've discovered. Some of them are things that some of the people that I've trained have gone out and discovered and used. And so, yeah.
I think this is a good time, too, to get your take on, you know, everybody should have an ID tag on their dog or cat and, you know, include their name and phone number. And when I travel with my pets, I actually include my cell phone number. But more importantly, you know, microchipping, it's sort of like the GPS system, if you will, for pets. And it's not perfect, but what's your take on the importance and some of the pros and cons of microchipping?
Oh, absolutely. You know, all my animals wear, including my cats, wear collars with tags and are microchipped. The tags and the collars that I use on my cat, some people are afraid of putting a collar on the cat. I found a stretchy band cat collar that works, it's Velcroed on, and so if the cat were to get hung up on something, he'd be able to pull out of it. You know, I've heard people before that have indoor-only cats that say, well, I never let my cat outside, so I don't need to put a collar on him. Well, those are the cats that are most at risk. If you have an indoor-only cat, if that cat escapes outside, and trust me,
they do.
It can happen to anybody. They're the ones, their behavior is they're going to hide in silence, and they're going to look and act like a feral cat. And that's the cat that really needs the collar with the ID tag on, the visible form of identification, but also that needs the microchip, because if it's picked up or humanely trapped 3 months later and taken down to the shelter, you want that shelter to be able to pick up and to scan it and be able to detect that this cat belongs to you.
And I know we're going to be talking more on our next show with you, Kat, about some of the behaviors exhibited by lost dogs and cats, and also get into just how we can become certified to be able to help missing pets in our community, and even cooler, how we can train our own dogs. I am so glad that you have agreed to be on a back-to-back segment on Obehave, because as you can tell, we're almost running out of time now, and we just are scratching at the surface about the importance of how to find missing pets. Folks, we're listening to Obehave on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. We have Kat Albrecht. She is America's top pet detective and the author of Dog Detective, Train Your Dog to Find Lost Pets, and you can learn more about her on thepethunters.com. I also wanted to ask you, Kat, is there anything else you wanted to mention before we sign off, and then we'll have you back on again next week?
Just that, you know, microchip your animals. Make sure if they're microchipped that you register them, because that's one of the problems that is seen often, is that a chip will be detected, but you have to register it. Just like you have to register your car with DMV, you need to contact the microchip company and make sure that you update your information, and there's a registration fee involved. So just because you adopt an animal from the shelter or have your vet microchip it, there's paperwork that needs to be done to register it. So make sure you register your animal and have it microchipped.
You know, that is a very important point, because I've learned as editor of Catnip, we've done stories, it's stunning. 40% of all pets who are microchipped, their owners have not done that final vital step, which is to file with the pet chip company. And so please, folks, listen to what Kat is telling you. Please microchip and register your pet. It's one of the best gifts you can give your pet. Well, that's it for today. I want to again thank my special guest, Kat Albrecht, and my cool producer for making this show possible. If you'd like to know any more information about this show or get a transcript of this show or any other show on Pet Life Radio Network, please just zip over to the website, petliferadio.com, and click on the O-Behave Show. If you have any questions or comments or ideas for a show, please email me at arden@petliferadio.com. So, until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words for all of you two, three, and four-leggers out there. Oh, behave!
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. They're shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Oh, yeah. So stop by our pad every week and get switched on, baby. Switched on to the show that's all about attitude. Oh, behave. With your groovy host, pet edutainer Arden Moore. Yeah, baby, yeah. Every week on demand on PetLifeRadio.com.